Today we celebrate All Saints' Day. This is the day we remember those in this congregation who have died, or those close to this congregation who have died. We acknowledge their lives and mourn their passing, and we give thanks for their influence on our lives and the example they gave us by the way they lived their lives. We all have departed ones whose memory we cherish and keep alive in our hearts. They have left an indelible mark on us, and we cannot forget them. Today is a day for celebrating their lives and giving thanks to God for them. The first person in my life who died when I was a child was named Dora. She was an immigrant from Romania and a cousin of my father, with whom my father lived when he went to college. Dora was like a grandmother to me. She was very kind and warm. I visited her grave in Arcadia just a few years ago, and it's hard for me to believe that she's now been dead for 55 years. One of my fond memories of her is that she read a little book to me that was written for children about the story of the little boy who went to hear Jesus speak. His mother had packed him a lunch of 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, and this would be the lunch that Jesus would turn into a meal for 5,000 people. I relate this memory to you because it illustrates a very important fact. We all came to Christian faith through the mediation of other people. Before I could ever read the Bible for myself, other people told me stories about Jesus or read to me stories about Jesus. And Dora was one of these people. I was 7 years old when she died, and my grief was terrible. My parents tried to explain to me that Dora was now in heaven, but I'm not sure how well I understood what they were trying to say to me. All I understood was that I was never going to see her again. But what my parents were trying to explain to me, I think I now understand a lot better. Dora is not really gone from my life. Indeed, she has often reappeared in my dreams at night. So how could someone I haven't seen for 55 years still have such an emotional tug on my heart? But she does. It's as if she were alive just yesterday and I had seen her. And I do hope that I can see her again after I die. There are many other examples of people in my life who made a very significant impact upon me who are now dead. Last week, about 6 or 7 of us went to the listening post at Mesa Verde United Methodist Church. And when we were in small groups, we were asked to give an example of an important experience that we had at church that shaped our faith. I mentioned a young minister I had had at United Methodist Church camp in the summer at Wrightwood in the mountains of San Bernardino when I was 13 years old. His name was Bert. Bert asked me if I had ever thought of becoming a minister. I said, of course not. I would never become a minister. But Bert obviously saw something in me that I had not yet seen in myself. And I doubt that I would be standing in this pulpit today had it not been for his formative influence on my life. I remember one particular sermon he preached around the campfire late at night under a billion bright stars in the mountains of San Bernardino. It was based on John 21, where the risen Jesus asked Peter 3 times, "Peter, do you love me?" Each time Peter replies, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And then each time Jesus commands Peter, saying, "Feed my sheep." In that sermon, I heard God calling me to the ministry. I mention this memory because it illustrates that the call of God always comes to us through the mediation of other people. God speaks to us through the voices and words of other people. And of course, the call of God doesn't have to be only to the professional ministry. Whatever God has called you to do in your life, You have heard God's call through the voice of other people who have shaped you, nurtured you, encouraged you, and mentored you. So on this All Saints Day, I mention Bert and Dora as just two persons who nurtured me in the Christian faith and gave me an example to follow about what it means to be a Christian and a human being. God reached out to me through Bert and Dora. Bert and Dora are among those in my own cloud of witnesses, people who had a great impact upon my life and my Christian faith, and there are many other examples I could mention. They are all gone now, yet their impact upon me remains. These illustrations indicate how utterly important is the example of other people upon who we become as persons and how we live our lives. I wouldn't be the person I am today had it not been for Dora and Bert, as well as many others. And that's how it was with the first disciples who knew Jesus personally. God's call to them came through their encounter with Jesus. God spoke to them through Jesus. When Jesus came upon Peter and his brother Andrew, who were fishing, Jesus said to them, "Come and follow me, and I will teach you how to fish for human beings and to reel them in." It's no different now than in biblical times. Although you and I don't know Jesus as the first disciples did, that is, according to the flesh, as the Apostle Paul characterizes it, every Christian we have ever met stands in the line of apostolic succession that goes all the way back to those first disciples of Jesus, who told other people about how life-transforming their encounter with Jesus had been. Just think about it. Every Sunday school teacher you've ever had stands in a historic line of continuity with those first disciples and apostles who changed other people's lives by telling them the stories about Jesus. In my case, whether it was Bert or Dora or any number of other influential people, from my parents to ministers to camp counselors to Sunday school teachers to youth directors to seminary professors, all of them were standing in for Jesus' disciples and apostles by sharing with me stories about Jesus and helping me to reflect on the significance of these stories for my life. I'm sure you know the famous hymn, "Tell Me the Stories of Jesus." It goes, "Tell me the stories of Jesus I love to hear. Things I would ask him to tell me if he were here. Words full of kindness, deeds full of grace. Stories of Jesus, tell them to me." The letter to the Hebrews explains that the example of these forerunners in the faith gives us a reason to hang in there when the going gets rough. Life is compared to an athletic contest, to a race. It reads, "Let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us." As with all athletic contests, we need perseverance or stamina to finish this race of life. Why? Because life is hard, and we need roadmaps. We need guides. We need examples if we are going to find our way through life successfully. And if we intend to be Christians, there are even more difficulties and challenges in life to overcome. Since God expects us to live our lives as persons of a certain kind, namely as persons who are like Jesus. The author to the letter of the Hebrews says, we are to look to Jesus, who is the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. Jesus is said in that letter to have made a choice about what goals he would pursue in his life and to have accepted the consequence for his choices. It says, for the sake of the joy that was set before him, Jesus endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. The joy that is spoken of here refers to living a life not for worldly gain, but for doing what is right in the eyes of God, regardless of its cost to oneself. That's why Jesus is said to be the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, since we too are called as Christians to imitate his example by living for God and not for ourselves, by living our lives with a heavenly goal in mind, not in order to seek worldly gain for ourselves. Of course, as you know, Jesus' earthly life ended in shame as the world views things. But we are told that Jesus disregarded that shame and endured the cross. In worldly terms, Jesus would hardly be the model for a successful worldly career that you'd want your kids to imitate. But that's the point. As Christians, we're not trying to be successful in the world's terms. We're seeking to be faithful to God, not successful as the world counts success. We look for a different sort of approval than that which the world gives. Namely, we're looking for approval from God. And this is what's spoken about when the letter to the Hebrews speaks of our ancestors who received approval from God by faith. Their trust in God and their fidelity to God, their loyalty to God, won God's approval of them. And then it lists an entire array of persons from the Old Testament who lived by this faith. That's why we need the examples of our saints, of persons who truly loved God and thus set a model for us to imitate in our own lives. We depend on those who show us what it means to be a human being and to be a Christian by their own example of how they have lived. And while they may now be dead, they continue to exercise their influence on the persons we have become. The Apostles' Creed affirms that we believe in the communion of saints. That is to say, the church does not consist solely of those who are still living on earth. Rather, it also consists of all those who have gone on to live eternally in the presence of God. And we still have communion with them, since they live with God and they live in us. And these are not mere words. I'm talking about reality here. In this sense, the dead aren't really dead. They are alive to God and they are alive to us. And when our time to die comes, we will join them in all the company of saints. And then we will be a part of this great cloud of witnesses. Now, the flip side of our gratitude towards those who have gone before us in life and faith is that we too are called to set an example for others to follow. As I was preparing for today's service, I thought to myself, you know, I hope that when I die, somebody is grateful that I lived because I had made a beneficial impact on that person's life. And that's the most important thing we can do in this life. Just as others shaped us, so we can shape the lives of others. And this is the most important legacy any of us can leave behind. Not money, not property, not even fame, but the impact of your life upon the lives of others. Now, of course, we know that the impact of one life upon another can be evil and not good. So God forbid that any of us is remembered for having been such a person. But that's why this is such an important lesson we are being reminded of today on All Saints Day. There is really only one important task in human life, and that is to become a good person who serves God and other human beings. And included in that task is that we help other human beings to find their way in this life meaningfully and constructively. You see, contrary to a typical assumption of American culture, there is no such thing as a self-made man or, for that matter, a self-made woman. We are not isolated individuals who may then decide whether or not to relate to other people. We do not live our lives in splendid isolation. We do not live our lives only for ourselves. No, we are social and interpersonal beings. What we do, who we become, what we say, all of this matters. And it not only matters here and now, it matters forever. It matters eternally. Our celebration of All Saints Day is a recognition of the fact that our lives matter far beyond this temporary present moment. Our actions have reverberations throughout time and history and even into eternity. That's why we speak of the judgment of God, since what we do, who we become, what we say and think matters to God. So I want to challenge us to take this occasion to ask ourselves if there's someone we know who needs our help, our care, our counsel, our advice. That is to say, our example of what it means to be a good person. Do you have a neighbor in need? Do you know a child or a teenager or a young adult who needs your support? Do you know of an organization that needs your volunteer service? Whatever the particular answer to this question might be in your particular case, you can be assured that there is someone out there right now in this world who needs your help. Find that person and be the example that will lead him or her to say of you, after you have died, I'm so glad that I met Cindy. I'm so glad that I met Bob. I'm so glad that I met Rebecca. I'm so glad that I met Daryl. I'm so glad that I met Bruce. Because they lent me a hand. They showed me the way. They lifted me up and helped me to see that I'm an important person who matters. Before wrapping this up, let me mention one other person who was very influential on me. He was a youth minister at our church when I was in high school. His name was Tom. I remember that Tom helped those of us in the youth group to appreciate the elderly members of the church. At Tom's urging one year, the youth organized a special Thanksgiving dinner for the elderly members of our church on a different day than the official holiday itself, so that we could have the opportunity to cook for them and to dine with them and to converse with them. I'm very grateful to Tom for this example he set us, teaching us to respect and care for the elderly. But he once pointed out something else that I've never forgotten. He explained that in the olden days, both in Europe and here in America, the graveyard used to be the churchyard. That is, before modern societies began segregating cemeteries so that we wouldn't be constantly reminded of death, the graveyard used to be a regular feature of the physical church. People would walk to and from church through the graveyard. And he insisted this was a vivid reminder of what the creed affirms when it states, "We believe in the communion of saints." Ever since Tom taught me that historical and theological lesson, I've been saddened that our churches and our graveyards are now separated from one another, since I think this contributes to a lessening of our vivid awareness of our ongoing communion with all of the saints who have gone before us. So therefore, my friends, let us be grateful for all those who have gone before us, for their contributions to their lives, and for their eternal life in the presence of God. Let us also remember that one day, too, we will join their company in that great cloud of witnesses. So for this reason, let us so live our lives that those who come after us will be grateful to have known us and to have been loved by us, since they will then bear witness that our example made all the difference to how they were able to live their lives as human beings and as Christians. And remember, there is no more important task we can accomplish in this life than that we made a positive contribution to the life of some other person. Thanks be to God for so great a cloud of witnesses. And may we be worthy to join their company when our time comes. And now I'd like to ask you to open your hymnal to 882. This is not listed in the bulletin, but I'd like us to recite the Apostles' Creed together. Hymn, well, it's not a hymn, but it's listed as 882 or 881. Let's see. Let's do the version 881. That's the traditional version here of the Apostles' Creed. Does everyone have it? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.